Delicious.
Are you just saying that because you're my mom?
No.
What do you like about it?
I like everything about it. It's very smooth.
Yeah.
It's got a lot of different flavors. It's really yummy.
Yay.
It goes down easy.
It really does.
It's very drinkable. Yes.
Thanks. Hello and welcome to this week's Sip with Nikki. I'm Nikki Lamberti. And this week, I'm not coming to you from the normal Sonoma County, California. I'm coming to you from the beautiful Jersey Shore, my home state. I am back in Long Beach Island, New Jersey, visiting with family. And if you are a regular listener, welcome back. I see you. Thank you so much for being here. And if you are new to the party, also happy to have you. So if you follow my social media, if you are part of our mailing list, you may have seen this week. It was a big week, and Michael and I released a new wine, and it is our Solovato Fortunato, which is a super Tuscan-inspired blend from the Napa Valley. And I've got lots of questions about, well, what the heck is super Tuscan? What does that mean? And what does that mean when you're making this wine in California? So today we're breaking down all things super Tuscan. I'll tell you what the term means and what you should expect from wines that fall into that category when they're coming from Italy. And I'm going to share with you some of my favorites, especially my AHA wine that really led me to pursue this career and work in the wine world. And then we're having an extra special sip spotlight this week with none other than my mom, Little Sue, who is essentially making her first appearance on the podcast today. She had not tasted our Fortunato wine yet. So I hit record and we got an uncensored review from mom of the wine, and I can't wait for you to hear it. So here we go with what the heck is a super Tuscan and why should you be drinking it? So I wanted to start by letting you know how this term and this category of wines even wound up on my radar, because it was happenstance. It wasn't something that I was seeking out. And if you have listened to previous episodes, which I sure hope that you have, you heard the long version, the full version of this story I shared in episode number 35 last summer. It was about my aha moments that led me to wine. But if you missed that, go back and check it out. But for context today, I'll give you the short version. I was working for Disney and based in Orlando and working on the Disney Cruise Line. And one night I was dining in Palo, which is their high-end adult-only Italian restaurant. And we were looking to order some wine to go with our beautiful fillets that restaurant is known for. And I was with a couple of my team members who are good friends. And our wonderful server, his name was Sylvester from India. We became fast friends after this story happened. He said, oh, you guys are all ordering fillets. You should try the Super Tuscan. And I was like, I don't know what that is. It was the first time I had heard that. I was a wine drinker at that point, but hadn't really studied or certainly any types of certifications. Just a wine lover. And I said, oh, Super Tuscan, what's that? And he said, that's called Tignanello, as we call it for short. And it's a blend of Sangiovese, the Italian grape, with some non-Italian grapes, grapes from Bordeaux, like Cabernet Sauvignon, Merlot, and Cab Franc. And I was like, oh, that sounds great, because at that point, I don't think I had ever had Sangiovese blended with anything that I was aware of. I had Chianti Classico, which is typically all Sangiovese, or traditionally maybe a little bit of a white Italian grape in there. But to my knowledge, had never had this combination of the Italian grape I love blended with the French grapes I love. So I was like, sure, I'll have a glass. And he's like, oh, no, it doesn't come by the glass. Hint number one about the exclusivity of Super Tuscans. So my fellow team members were good sports and they said, oh, I'm going to get a glass. So it made sense. And we got the bottle of Tignanello. And that was the first time I ever spent over $100 on a bottle of wine. And it changed my life. No joke. I know it sounds corny, I have no affiliation with them. I just love their wine because at that meal, that was the first time that I ever experienced how a glass was changing and pretty rapidly in the glass during the meal. So sip one was like, yum, I'm getting fruity, cherry. And then sip two and sip five and sip 10 as we worked our way through that bottle through the meal. And then, of course, added the pairings with the fillets, which is salt, fat, protein. The wine just changed. And every time I picked it up, it was like I was tasting it for the first time. In the wine world, we call that complexity. When a wine has so many layers to it that when it is exposed to oxygen in your glass or you're decanting it, those layers just change and unveil themselves as you're enjoying that glass. So that was a big aha moment for me. And then it became a tradition every time I was working on the ship and dining in that restaurant with my teammates. We started ordering it on purpose because it was enjoyable and such a conversation starter. So that was a really big seed that was planted for me to then 6 years later move from Orlando to wine country where I live now to study and to make wine. And so I always had it in the back of my mind that I would want to make a wine like that, but in California, listen into the end to see if it came to fruition. Now, a little bit about this category of wine, Super Tuscan. That is a general term. And the thing that you need to know about Italy and how they classify their wines, and if you go back to the episode where I talk about how to shop for wine and how to read wine labels, I get into this. But Italian wines are very highly specific in what can be grown where and how things can be labeled. And then there are different classifications like DOC, DOCG, IGT. So, you know, you can only make certain things in certain areas if you want to have that classification. And it's a big deal. But in the 60s and 70s, there were producers that wanted to rebel against that, especially in the Chianti region of Tuscany, where to that point, you could only grow and make Sangiovese, and then you had a leeway to blend a little bit of white Italian grapes, so just Italian, period. And nobody was combining Bordeaux grapes like Cabernet with Italian grapes like Sangiovese, or blasphemy, she says, is clutching her pearls, bottling a wine grown in Italy, grown in Tuscany, that didn't even have the traditional Italian grapes like Sangiovese and was just Cabernet Sauvignon. Nobody was doing that. And so in the 60s and 70s, that's when a few producers really started to get curious and started to rebel and knew that their wines would receive a lower classification. That classification's vino di tavola, table wine. And it is just like it sounds. It's a very generic classification of wines that is less specific and less expensive. And so they knew that in experimenting with planting, growing, and potentially blending Italian and non-Italian grapes, they were going to have to lower down to this category. But then later, because these wines were so popular and went viral, they became cult wines, especially the modern versions of them. They're big and they're rich and generally are price tags over $100, like the Tignanello. They have the legal appellation or category labeling of IGT, Indicazione Geografica Tipica, indicating a typical geography. So generally, you'll see those Super Tuscan wines labeled as IGT. What I love about this category of wines in general, and they're all going to vary, but I find especially with things like Tignanello that are Sangiovese and Bordeaux grapes like Cabernet, they can have both red fruit and black fruit characteristics in the same wine. And that's rare. A lot of times you have a wine and you're like, oh, I'm smelling and tasting cherries and strawberries. That's red fruit. Oh, I'm tasting blackberry, black cherry, plums, prunes, right? That's black fruit. But it's a little more rare to have both of those notes happening at the same time in a wine. And that's one of the things that I enjoy about the Super Tuscan wines that I've had. Then I love that typically they have notes of tobacco is one of my favorite interesting characters of Tina Nello. It's almost like cherry chewing tobacco. Not that I've ever put that in my mouth, but I've smelled it. And it has that juxtaposition of the fruitiness and then the sweet earthiness of tobacco. So in 1971, Tina Nello released the very first vintage. And I have been lucky enough back in 2018 to actually visit the estate and see the vineyard. And yes, my head did explode a little bit. And yes, maybe joy did fall out of my face for just a moment to see those vines that created that wine that literally changed my life. I know, super corny. It's a 57-hectare vineyard. It's not very big, but the soils are so interesting. They're very limestone-y soils. And I remember they have these white rocks literally at the base of the vine, both naturally, and then they sort of gather them at the base of the vine, helping with absorption of sunlight and heat up under the vines. And just, I've never seen any vineyard before in all my travels that looks just like this vineyard. Now, Antinori also makes another super Tuscan called Ornellaia, which I got to taste when I was there. This wine just has no Sangiovese, no Italian grapes in there whatsoever. It is always a Cabernet Sauvignon driven blend, Merlot, Cab Franc, Petit Verdot. So it's essentially a Bordeaux style blend, but they are growing it in the Bulgari region of Italy. And it is generally even more expensive than Tina Nello was rated the wine of the year by the Wine Spectator and was on the cover of it. Another cult Super Tuscan that you'll hear about is Sassicaia. Sassicaia was wine of the year, and that's generally a Cabernet Sauvignon led blend with some Cabernet Franc in it. In recent years, since I caught the Super Tuscan bug, I am always looking for more value priced Super Tuscans, and they do exist like in the $40, $50, $60 range. So we don't drink Tina Nello all the time. It is a very special occasion wine that we drink, especially when we're back on the Disney Cruise Line and want to splurge in that very restaurant. But I'll put the link in the show notes, not only to the three coveted flagship Super Tuscans that I've mentioned, Tina Nello, Ornellaia, Sassicaia. They're just fun to say. Tina Nello, Ornellaia, Sassicaia, oh my. But I will put some links into some that I have found that can be located in places like Total Wine and wine.com if you'd like to try this style of wine before you do the big splurge. Now you know a little bit more about those wines, and I mentioned that it had always been on my heart to create a wine like that. And if you're a regular listener, you know that my partner Michael and I started Solavato, Italian for joyful and uplifted, our small wine brand that's based in Sonoma County. And up until 2019, 20, 21, we made purely 100% Sangiovese. So more in that sort of Chianti Classico style. But in 2022, we were lucky to come across an additional Sangiovese vineyard that was willing to share some grapes with us in addition to our grower, the Ramazzotti family, who we were purchasing every year for our Sangiovese. And just to put into perspective how rare this is, less than 1% of all of the acreage of vines, of grapes in Napa is planted to Sangiovese. So it's very rare to begin with. And we were connected with a gentleman, shout out to Kurt, who had just bought a home in St. Helena that actually had some mature Sangiovese vines in the yard. And through word of mouth, I heard he was looking for someone that was willing to make some wine from that property. And we picked those grapes ourselves on September 2nd of 2022. We are lucky enough to have friends that are excited to participate. So they were our pickers. And for the amount of grapes that we picked, which was not even a half a ton, not even 1,000 pounds, it was like between 600 and 700 pounds. It took us hours. We are the slowest pickers ever, but there was also a lot of photos and videos that were happening. In fact, if you look at my highlight bubble on my Instagram at Nikki Lamberti, look at the Fortunato highlight bubble and you'll see some of those pictures.
We will be right back.
If you heard our 69th episode from April 2025, you heard my amazing conversation with Sina Wheeler. Sina is from a fifth generation fishing family, and she and her husband Rich founded Sina Sea, and he catches wild, sustainably caught fish in Alaska, and then they cut it and package it and ship it to your door, and it's premium sushi quality when it arrives. You can create a subscription box, and they'll even guide you as to what's in season. For instance, May is the start of Copper River salmon season. In our episode, you heard Sina and I tasting this very salmon, which was delicious. And we made poke bowls and paired it with wine, of course. And I was really blown away, not only at the awesome quality of the fish, but the sustainability of the packaging when it arrived. And then the recipe card that was packed inside the box and how easy it was to prepare. So I'm so excited to introduce you to Sina Sea, so that you can have it shipped right to your door from a small family-owned business. They've been kind enough to create a discount code for our listeners. The code is SIPANDSEA, and you can use that at their website, SinaSea.com, S-E-N-A-S-E-A, SinaSea.com, for 10% off your order. This can be for a one-time purchase, or you can sign up and save with a subscription box. I also encourage you to sign up for their email list for great recipes and inspirations of how to incorporate healthy and beautiful fish into your diet regularly. They do a monthly drawing for a $50 gift card for all the members on their mailing list. So go check out the delicious wild Alaskan fish at SinaSea.com. Healthy fish delivered easy.
Smoky balsamic glazed ribs.
What? Did I get your attention?
So AmericanOliveFarmer.com is a business and a website owned and operated by my friend Liz Tagami. She and her husband Donald live in Corning, California, and I recently had Liz on the podcast, and we got to taste some of her beautiful olive oils that are made right here in California, both Arbequina and Ascolano. Well, that was just the tip of the iceberg, because if you check out her website, she imports gorgeous balsamic vinegar from Modena. One of them uses three of my favorite Italian wine grapes as the base of the vinegar: Trebbiano, Lambrusco, and Sangiovese. Oh my gosh, can you imagine? And while on their website, if you sign up to stay in touch, you'll receive their newsletter and you'll get the delicious recipes that Liz and Donald have created using their awesome products.
I'm so excited to introduce all of you to American Olive Farmer, and Liz has kindly created a discount code for our listeners. Use the code SIPWITHNIKKI, capital S, capital W, and capital N, SIPWITHNIKKI, for $10 off your order, and that can be from anything off the site, whether it's delicious oils or vinegars. She has gifts. You can even send someone an olive tree as a really unique gift. How cool is that? Check out AmericanOliveFarmer.com and support this fantastic, small, California-based, woman-led business. You can even set up an olive oil subscription. Go check it out. You're welcome.
And now, back to the show.
But we picked it ourselves, and I all hand-picked and then crushed and fermented it, and I knew it was not going to be enough to fill a standard wine barrel, which is about 59 gallons. And you do not want to have a half or three-quarter fill wine barrel aging your wine, because there's a lot of oxygen in there. That's frankly how you make vinegar, and that's not what we wanted. So through that circumstance, our first Super Tuscan-inspired blend was born, where we were able to purchase some Cabernet Sauvignon, just enough to basically fill the barrel and have a little extra for topping off those barrels over their 2 years of aging. And then we also are making and have a couple barrels right now of Petit Syrah, which is a rich, dark, inky red wine. And those grapes come from the property where I lived, from my house that was in the middle of a vineyard in the first couple of years that I lived in wine country. And we'll be releasing the Petit Syrah on its own. But I wanted to blend a very small percentage in with the Sangiovese and the Cab, because that Petit Syrah really gives beautiful color, texture, weight to it. So we just released Fortunato. Fortunato is Italian for fortunate or lucky, and that's exactly how we feel that all three of these things came into place. And then through our blending trials, we landed on 60% Sangiovese, and then 35% Cabernet Sauvignon, and then 5% of the Petit Syrah. Now, if you have been listening, you also know that as long as a wine is 75% or more of one grape, you can just call it that grape on the label. So if this was 75% Sangiovese, we could have labeled it as such, but it's not. It's only 60% of the leading grape. So Fortunato is the blend name. And of course, it sums up exactly how we feel.
And now it's time for our Sip Spotlight.
Sip Spotlight.
Hi, Mom.
Hi.
Here we are at the beach. You haven't even smelled the Fortunato yet or
no,
tasted it.
I haven't. I see the color.
All right. Why don't you tell everyone about the color?
It's dark.
Yeah. Do you think it's darker than the Sangiovese?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, there's Cabernet Sauvignon in there, and there's Petit Syrah in there, which are all going to make it darker.
What would you call that, though? You wouldn't say it was brownish.
I would say it's got like a garnet.
Okay.
Undertone.
Yes.
To it.
Okay.
Yeah. Cheers. Fortunato. I'm fortunate to be here.
Absolutely.
Oh my God, Jinx. What do you smell?
Tobacco.
Do you?
Yeah.
You love that. You look for it, don't you?
I don't know. No, it's me. Earthy. Very earthy. Did you put tobacco in here?
I did not. I promise.
It's changing though.
Yep.
Yeah.
I just opened this probably 10 minutes ago and then poured it in the glass. It's been in our glasses for 5 minutes or so, breathing a little bit.
Maybe.
You think the nose is already changing?
Yes.
Okay. Is the fruit coming forward now?
Yeah.
So the tobacco was there first.
Went back, yeah.
I'm not going to say anything. I already took a sip and you didn't. I'm not going to lead the witness. By the witness, I mean my mother.
It does smell like dark fruit.
She's thinking really hard. She's making out with it a little bit. No pressure. You brought me into this world.
I don't know what it tastes like as much as what it smells like.
Does it taste like it smells?
No.
Okay. That's always fun.
Yeah.
So she's going back for sip two, and I don't blame her. Sometimes it takes a minute, especially with a newly opened bottle of wine. I'm going to join you.
Oh, that was a big sip. Mm-hmm.
Dr. Hobie Wedler would be proud of you as you're swirling your glass with your other hand over the top of it while you're swirling and then releasing the aromas to your fach. She's like looking into space, cocked her head, because she's like really thinking about this.
What is that fruit? It's something very dark, almost like a plum skin.
Mm. Ooh, plum skin. That
skin,
is specific.
Inside, yes.
Okay. Do you feel like plum skin has bitterness to it?
Sometimes.
Like tannin, almost like a grape skin, right?
Yeah, a lot more vicious than the inside. The inside is the juicy, sweet part.
Yeah.
But the outside sometimes...
Did you just use the word vicious?
Did I?
Yeah, I think so. That's a really good descriptor. Mm. Okay, so dark, like you're in the purple fruit category. We're not in the red. Cherry.
Dark cherry.
Black cherry.
Yes, not a red maraschino fake cherry.
God, I would slit my wrist if my wine had hints.
Dark cherry.
Chemical maraschino cherries.
Are yellow and red cherries.
Yes.
But no.
This is black.
Yes.
Or is Bing?
Maybe.
Chandler Bing. Chandler. That's what I think of when I say Bing. What I'm enjoying about it right now is that my last sip was before we had that little side tangent about the cherries.
Yes.
It's still in my mouth. It is a very long finish
yes.
that I am happy about. Mm-hmm. That's something we strive for in winemaking. We want it to really coat and hang on. And that's why I said it's like a warm hug from your favorite Italian Nona. Is it hugging your mouth? You don't have Italian Nonas.
But Grandpa had this cigar box.
Is that what you get?
The tobacco box. Yeah. That was in his study.
If I'm not mistaken, when we have enjoyed Tignanello before together, as recently as last summer on the cruise in Palo, she said, one of the things that you have always enjoyed about that wine is the tobacco note.
It's nostalgic for me.
Yeah, because it reminds you of your father's cigar box, grandfather's.
Yes. And I'm not sure there were cigars in there. There were like boxes in the den.
I remember those boxes with doll clothes in them when I would go to your parents' house.
Okay. Yeah, because I think he had them in his library or den and there were things in them, not necessarily cigars or pipes or anything.
Yeah.
I don't think he even smoked a pipe.
But the boxes keep that smell,
yes.
But it's subtle when the cigar is no longer in there.
Yes.
And I would say that is a great way to say how that note is on these wines. If people are like, oh, tobacco, I don't like tobacco.
Oh.
I have never been a smoker in my entire life.
Oh,
but
no.
But smelling the residual.
It's not the smell of smoke.
It's unlit.
Yes.
Cigar.
Yes. Like when men do that.
Yes. When you hold it under your nose,
right.
Like in the shop.
Or the box.
It's subtle.
It's funny.
It's like hints of, and I love that in Tignanello, and I'm very excited that unled by me, you pick that out of this.
You pick it out of this?
Yes.
Oh, you want it to be in there?
Yeah, because this is inspired by that wine. And
right,
even though
right,
it's a California right. expression of it, if that's there, that makes my heart happy.
I'm so happy.
Yay.
Yay.
From what you remember, and we're not doing it side by side, but you've had our Sangiovese for multiple years now. If someone said, oh, Nikki has a new wine out, it's a blend, how is it different than what they were already making? What comes to mind?
To me, that's bolder or heavier. I don't know if that's good words, but bolder, heavier. I can see why people are writing to you and saying, oh, yes, I need more.
Shout out to both wonderful customers, Kathy and Sandra, who ordered when this wine released on Tuesday of this week. Already opened, tasted, sent me a note saying how much they loved it, and already placed second orders.
Yep.
That to me is so gratifying and reinforcing that like people really like it.
Okay. How come your glass is more empty than mine?
Because I drink faster.
Wow.
Because you're talking a lot.
Oh.
And it's interesting because I think people would think, oh, because this is that super Tuscan inspired blend and there's 35% Cabernet in there, Petit Sirah, it's going to be heavier than the 100% Sangiovese.
No,
but the Sangiovese that's in here is different vineyard, different county, Napa versus Sonoma, and was completely different at the time of pick. It was much lighter, less ripe, and more sharp acidity to it.
Definitely has
tannins.
Some tannins.
That's coming from that 5% Petit Sirah from where I used to live.
Oh.
It only takes 5%. And the cab has some tannin too.
It's delicious.
Are you just saying that because you're my mom?
No.
What do you like about it?
I like everything about it. It's very smooth.
Yeah.
It's got a lot of different flavors. Yeah. It's really yummy.
Yay.
It goes down easy.
It really does.
Yeah.
Like we have already finished our little glasses.
Oh, yeah, no, it's very drinkable. Yes.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
All right, I'll give you your check when we're done recording. Thank you.
No, just send me more bottles.
Okay, cheers.
Since you brought this bottle to me and you drank half of it.
In my suitcase. I didn't drink half of it. We've had three sips.
Okay.
I will drink half of it before we go to dinner.
Yeah.
Now Big Dom is tasting Fortunato.
It's a very strong tasting. Definitely know you're drinking wine when you're drinking this.
There's a quote. I put that on the website. You definitely know you're drinking wine when you're drinking this. Amen. That is a compliment. I don't want you to think you're drinking beer or water.
Very good.
Thanks. I'll give you your check later, too.
I would not say it's strong.
It's funny. You said the opposite, but that's, yeah.
You think it's strong?
I think there's intensity of flavor, but softness of texture.
Thank
which
you
is
for
what
the word.
What
yes.
made me think of the warm hug from Nona.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, and the alcohol is actually very mild on it. This is one of the lowest alcohol wines we've made. It's still in the 13.
Oh, okay.
Most of our wines are high 14. Ooh,
Really? You just shuddered like a goosebump.
It really is yummy. It really is.
Cheers. Thanks for weighing in. I mean, there's the quote. Thanks, Dad. You definitely know you're drinking wine when you're drinking this. I have now promoted him to the head of marketing for Solovato Wines. So hopefully through our time together, you feel like you have a solid understanding of what the Super Tuscans are, what you should expect, some of my favorites from Italy, and then, of course, some great highlights of my wine that is near and dear to my heart, Fortunato. At the time of this recording, which is the end of May, we've sold about half of the total 308 bottles. So if you are interested, visit solovatowines.com and make sure that you use the discount code PODLISTENER for 10% off your order. Check the links in the show notes for my other favorite Super Tuscan wines as well. And a special thanks to Mom and Dad for weighing in today. Whatever you do between now and next week, I hope that you sip well.